The surprise might be there wasn't a surprise when we talked this USDA report out today. Good afternoon. You're listening to the American Ag Network. I'm Susan Littlefield. Sam Hudson's joining us today. Sam, of course, is with Corn Belt Marketing. And really, you know, this is the report that everybody always talks about year after year. There's going to be some sort of surprise. And usually there is. And I joke that the surprise was that there wasn't one this year.
Yeah, that's right. You know, we always continue to look at this as kind of a, you know, resetting of those benchmarks. You know, obviously we get those in March and we see how spring weather goes. And so I think the trade's been anxious to maybe get a reshuffling of the deck here anyway, so we can kind of put some of the things that have been looming, you know, over us behind us, you know, the delivery period for the July contracts, you know, with first notice day there, and taking those off the board, obviously with plenty of old crop stocks around, even though those continue to dwindle. But when you look at these across the board, Susan, as you mentioned, I mean, there's just not enough change anywhere, stocks or acres. And so it doesn't provide a lot of fresh fodder for the market. We saw that with the reaction, really not much of one. But it doesn't mean we still can't look into, you know, what it means. And me personally, what I'm looking at this point is the fact that we didn't come in over the top well on either of these from an area standpoint. I think we only go in, you know, nowhere but backwards here, because I would strongly argue that harvested acres as a percentage for corn and beans this year is going to be lower than what we normally see because of some of the late conditions. And when you look at soybeans, you know, we gained a pretty decent chunk in some of these areas, but where we did it was all the wet spots. South Dakota up 2%. You know, you had North Dakota, I think, up 6.5%, Kansas 2.5%, Wisconsin 8%. Some of these areas where we did shift to soybeans, you have to kind of question what the conditions are like and if we'll see a reduction in harvested area there as well.
So as we look at this, no real knee-jerk reaction. Do we just go back to markets trading on a weather feel once again?
I believe so. And now I think what it does change, though, is you know, we didn't, again, I mentioned we didn't come in over the top. So these existing market shorts, if you can't find any fodder to continue to push it lower, they may kind of gravitate towards, you know, just getting out anyways and reducing that exposure. And so I think that's the bright spot here for the short term. I think this amplifies just a little bit, Susan, if we were to go back to like a hot, dry forecast, because no one's going to be thinking, well, we'll make it up an area. As I mentioned, I actually think you're going to probably eventually see this harvested area go down as a percentage. I just don't know how quickly we will touch that. And we've had just enough good out there with the bad that it's been hard to really, you know, banter much about yield, at least thus far.
So how much has, you know, President Trump and the talks, you know, were stopped with Canada, and then last night Canada says, nope, we want to come back to the table and talk, knowing that July 9th is just around the corner? Do we see that weighing in on our grains at all this week?
It could, but this has been something that we've been toying with, you know, for several months now. And throughout that process, you know, keep in mind our old crop marketing year, corn and beans both, but especially on corn, have continued to beat expectations. And that's true ever since last September, October, right at harvest there. And so there's some things you just cannot change. You can be fearful what the future, you know, says, but in the meantime, the present is telling us other things. And so as we continue to dwindle down those old crop stocks, these acres numbers only necessitate, you know, that trend yield if we're going to keep our balance sheets together. Keep in mind, too, you know, this is the time last year where we started to see China, you know, you get into that mid, late July timeframe where they really started to buy considerably more U.S. beans. And I think we're going to see kind of a latency in that program again this year, but that doesn't mean it's going to go away. We know Brazil's got big crops, but thus far we've continued to stay in the game fighting. And I would also be willing to wager at some point here across the Midwest that you could find a tighter cash market here because so much selling was done on the front end in February, March, and so many of these end users have coverage until they realize they don't.
Livestock side, higher cattle taking place after really starting out this morning struggling.
Yeah, absolutely. I was actually kind of surprised what the feeders did here today. You know, we got that data, you know, on the acreage. I kind of thought that might lend a little bit of pressure on that market, or at least keep some on it, or keep it leashed. But when you're continuing to trade, you know, this healthy discount to the cash market, it's a little easier to see things rally. And what I'm really watching here now in those feeders is to see what that August-September spread does here as we get closer to delivery of that contract in a couple of months here, and what those cash prices can do comparatively speaking.
Do you see any other excitements or things we should be watching for this shortened trade week, knowing the 4th of July is on Friday?
Well, I do. You know, I go back to those acreage numbers. You know, we have that new benchmark now. Didn't come in over the top. Those that are short may have been hoping for that. The fact that we haven't pressed lower, we'll see if we can see that short covering. But I think one of the biggest things is what it normally is, and that is what do these forecasts look like? Because there is a decent, you know, chunk of the central corn belt here. They're talking about heat. I'm not going to sit here and put any money on that. You know, these forecasters haven't been good any more than like 4 or 5 days out. But we can still extrapolate, you know, what if that happens? You got central Illinois, northern Illinois. basically the I-80 corridor from Indianapolis to Davenport that's pretty short on moisture here, particularly in the last 2 weeks, and that's right when we've gotten this spell of heat. I will tell you, we've got a lot of, April planted corn around here. The tassels are starting to come out, which means water usage is also going to uptick. So if you can create a little bit of chaos in some of these weather scenarios here into mid-July, I still think you can chase some of these shorts out. And we're low enough in price here that if that happens, Susan, initially, the producer side of things, no one's going to be interested in selling a 10 or 15 cent rally. We're going to have to put a little bit more on top of it before anyone gets interested or tick some more time off the clock. So I think that's the opportunity if there are any. But again, I think it's rooted in the idea that this harvested area probably goes down. And then if we have to reduce yield on top, it'll be a more frisky or spicy environment, if you want to say that.
All right. Sounds good. Sam Hudson joining us today. A quick reminder, commodity futures and options do involve a substantial risk of loss, not suitable to all investors. And that has been the Monday Market Wrap-Up right here on the American Ag Network.